Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Now the time is 6:33. The newly merged Smurfit Westrocks. Smurfit Westrock is the world's largest listed packaging company. Today they published a second quarter consolidated results and they posted a net loss of $26 million on sales of just under $8 billion. But EBITDA came in at $1.2 billion. The fact that it operates across 42 countries with paper and cardboard mills in 67 different mills means it should be shielded from the deglobalization brought on by the tariff wars underway at the moment. And Ken Bowles is the Chief Financial Officer with Smurfit Westrock. Good morning, Ken.
Morning, Joe.
How come you made a fairly decent EBITDA of $1.2 billion but a net loss of $26 million?
We, during May, we announced a number of closures, particularly in North America, of a number of paper mills, and in Europe, a couple of corrugated plants in Germany. So the impact of the closure costs and rationalization costs of those impacts the net income, but not the EBITDA. So largely, you know, broadly, half of that's non-cash, half of that is kind of restructuring and closure costs. But really, that's the big difference. Beyond that, there's no real difference.
Okay, so that net loss should probably turn into a profit by the end of the financial year.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's a one-off.
Yeah. Your North American business appears to be stronger than your European business. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, and it's due largely to the backdrop to the industry. And indeed, look, we can all look at our window and see what's happening. Europe generally is doing okay, but larger economies like Germany continue to struggle in terms of the demand environment. And North America is much more balanced. It's equally, you know, demand is okay. But from a balance perspective, you know, paper corrugated is a tighter environment in North America. I think it's, you know, Europe is really good in places like Spain, the UK, Ireland, the East. But the largest economy in Europe really does have a drag on the overall impact of the demand environment. And that's what's happening in Germany. And really has been happening for, you know, well over a year now.
What about paper costs and your original material before you turn it into cardboard boxes? What has that done over the past year?
It's gone through a bit of a cycle. I mean, we saw really tight inventories around paper and indeed recovered fibre, which is the main source of what we use to make recycled boxes. But at the start of this year, we saw that those paper prices decline, which led largely due to lack or lower consumption. Lower consumption means more recovered fiber, which means that price goes down. So we've seen a bit of a cycle. So paper prices are down fair bit from where they were this time 18 months ago, which feeds directly into that kind of margin you see in Europe versus North America. Those prices are being held well at the box plants. But really, you know, our industry and our business is built on, you know, what happens in the consumption, what happens with the consumer. And at the moment, summer period is generally quite good. The latter part of the year is even better. But certainly for the first 6 months, consumption really at the consumer level was probably less than we would have liked.
So how would you describe the global e-commerce market then at the moment?
E-commerce tends to be relatively resilient. You know, people have never really moved away from the model that was, if you like, built during the COVID years. If you tend to break down most businesses like ours, you'll find that predominantly 75 to 80% will probably fall into FMCG. And within that, a lot of things. Fast moving consumer goods. And within that, a lot of that will be kind of staple goods around food and beverage. And generally, they are very, very resilient. You know, people might change their price points, might change the quantities they buy, but they still tend to buy. Where you see the more direct impact is more around discretionary goods. So people maybe hold off on home improvements, they hold off on buying white goods, they hold off on, you know, buying new cars. And that's so that part of the business, which is a relatively small part of our overall volumes, but that's really where we tend to see, you know, the slowdown happen initially. But it's also conversely where we see the recovery start is when people begin to be confident around those spends.
Mm-hmm. You could be described as a fully globalized company, Smurfit Westrock. How is deglobalization going for you?
Well, our business is largely domestic, right? So generally, paper mills, that paper can travel long distances, but the corrugated plant or the consumer plant that converts that paper tends to be very close to its customer, no more than 250 kilometers generally away from its customer. So a lot of all of our business really is local. So yeah, very global business and lots of stuff happens globally, but at the customer level, it's a very local business. Mm. So we tend to, even the impact of tariffs, you know, the bilateral question to that is that we tend to see paper flows, you know, between Europe and North America, but you do not see box flows. So yeah, we don't see a lot of that impact at the local level.
And have the tariff and trade uncertainty affected your business yet?
I think that the uncertainty affects everybody. It's back to that kind of confidence thing. I think organizations, no more than ourselves or other large organizations, like a relatively stable long-term view to, it allows you to place capital better. It allows you to take a long-term view on things, you know, where you might invest, where you might buy. You know, I've seen a few, you know, instances, just not our industry, but others, where they've made decisions around where they might invest or not based on the current environment. So I think businesses generally like some level of certainty. We all accept there's volatility in the world. That's unavoidable. But a relative level of certainty allows you to make bigger long-term decisions. I think whether we agree with the 15% tariff or not, I think it takes a lot of noise out of the system and allows organizations to plan a bit now if it settles at that 15.
That's the big question. If it settles at that. I mean, only last night we saw new tariffs being slapped on India and Brazil for fairly, you know, mild reasons. So the if is the big question.
Yeah, the if is, I think, you know, if I look at the equity markets, they've built a lot of this in. You know, if I think about paper flows in our own business, largely they've been paying a 10% tariff since they came in April. But I think the equity markets have kind of got slightly ahead of this. So, even when you saw the 15% in Europe land the weekend, it had very little impact in the equity markets around sentiment or indeed the bond markets. So I think the market is beginning to cope with that kind of volatility and make assumptions around where this might land. You know, but I think we sort of have to maybe trust the process a bit here and see, look, let the 15 come in, let the negotiation happen, let the finer details be bedded down, see what the categories are, because we're still slightly unsure about what's included, what's not. But, you know, generally the equity markets head away in August and come back in September. So there's a month of less noise anyway while that kind of settles down.
The Smurfit Westrock share price is down 15% in London and 10% in New York over the past 6 months. Are the markets seeing something that they don't like?
No, I think if you look at the sector is generally down even more than that for some. I think it's back to that, you know, sometimes our industry fits into that kind of cyclical pattern. So if consumer demand is down, then generally, you know, there's a cycle out of stocks like ours that are consumer facing into things like metals and mining and more durable goods like that. So no, nothing to do with us. In fact, if you looked through the commentary yesterday, and indeed the comments I've seen this morning on the notes, everybody is looking at the story as a very stable build 1 year together. Outlook is very good. Lots of places of value we can use in the years forward. But actually, we probably perform better than most of our peers.
Your year together, as you said, are you seeing improved purchasing power since that merger came about?
You always do. I mean, both organizations had very large purchasing organizations anyway. So there is always some savings to happen there. I think where we get the next level of savings really is that, you know, for a lot of things, particularly in the IT space, for example, you tend to have two versions of everything. So we've chosen one system, they've chosen another. I think you get a lot of savings over the years by just eliminating one and going with one system. And that takes time to come through, clearly, because you've got to implement the system. But no, we continue to see, you know, opportunities for value. In fact, that's why we talk about this, you know, this bucket of value of at least $400 million that we kind of see just by kind of driving efficiency improvement and further integration out of the business.
You may be listed in America, but you're still kind of an Irish company, essentially. Are you glass half full about the infrastructure and other woes that we have these days?
Yeah, very much an Irish company. And I think, you know, if you go to any of our plants around the world, you'll see the Irish flag flying alongside our Smurfit Westrock flag. It's something we're very proud of. I think Ireland infrastructure has been a long running battle. And will ultimately need to be solved. How? I think the engagement of organizations and large businesses like ourselves would probably help. I think that's the frustration in terms of, if you want to bring in, you know, talent, is there schools, is there housing? Those things kind of limit the ability to really bring talent to Ireland for those jobs we need it for. But I think generally there clearly is an issue on the ground with housing anyway. So I think sometimes it probably takes a bigger view around, you know, how do you engage business to help you in these kind of things? And look, the government is generally good at that. We spend a lot of time talking to the government about policy and things we think about, but it's not an overnight kind of solve. But I do think bigger engagement and greater engagement with businesses such as ours, who kind of have a more global view, can't hurt.
There you go. That's the message, Mr. Government. If you're listening, talk to the likes of Smurfit Westrock a bit more. Ken, thank you so much for joining us. That's Ken Bowles, the Chief Financial Officer with Smurfit Westrock.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.